convinced that I need to work a corporate job and I need to be a manager and then I need to be, you know, and I need to follow, you know, the succession. I was trying to fit into a box that was not made for me. So I couldn't figure out, why am I unhappy?
What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. You know I go around this amazing freaking planet of ours, finding the best humans I can find to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. And I do that because there's so much crap in the world and so much things we're getting hit with. We need to find the right people in our network, the right people to be in the room with, those right people. And I try to bring those people to you, to inspire you, to uplift you, to change the way you think, and to maybe get a different perspective of what you're going through. So today I found Dee, and Dee is awesome. You're going to freaking love her. Okay. And she's the managing director of Ignite Purpose USA in Virginia. Now, Dee's journey began in community health outreach, focusing on expanding hepatitis C testing and treatment. And her path led her to organizational development, where she pursued her master's in executive leadership and earned an associate's in coaching certification. Now, beyond her leadership role, Dee hosts her compelling podcast, What Lights Your Fire. I freaking love that. That highlights individuals living their purpose amidst their challenges. You guys know I love people like this, right? That just think about how they're going to impact the freaking world. So join us as we talk to Dee on her inspirational journey and her insights and her testament to the power of purpose and potential that is in each one of us. So Dee, welcome, my love. Welcome. How are you?
I mean, wow. Like with that introduction, I'm like, man, I could just go home now, right?
You're awesome. Yeah. I mean, I really loved when we spoke a few weeks ago. Yeah. And I was really excited about speaking with you today. And you are so gracious. So guys, I'm going to confess I was late today, but Dee was so gracious that she was already backstage and waiting for me. I was like, oh, but she's awesome for that. So Dee, I want people to get to know you. And so the first question I always ask is, who are you? Because I think that's the rabbit hole I want to go under. So who are you, Dee?
Well, you know, and I really love that question just because I feel like when we ask that question to people, a lot of times their answer is on autopilot. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for me, who I am really just continues to morph every day. And I think that who I am today is a kind human who is brave, kind, a learner, accountable, and someone who loves human connections.
That's so beautiful. And you know what I like about that? You didn't start with your job. Mm-hmm. That says a lot. Mm-hmm.
My job is a little bit of who I am. Like, my job is how I show up in the world, and how I show up to help others.
Yeah.
But it's only really a part of who I am. I mean, you know, holistically, I mean, it's only like a third of who I am.
Yeah. And I think, you know, many moons ago, before I started to get into personal development and transformational coaching and NLP and all that kind of stuff, that's how I led. Because my identity was really wrapped up in my career because I was so good at my career. It's like I needed to wear it like a badge, you know? So what are you? Oh, I'm a director of culinary operations and I run a team of 20, blah, 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 blah. That's not even who I am. But I realized that as I got into personal development that I started to realize who I really, really was. And it's like what you said. I love that you said I'm kind. Right? That I'm here to impact the world and all that great stuff. That's beautiful. And that's what, you know, that's what I want a lot of the listeners, because I know that a lot of my listeners are leaders and entrepreneurs and, you know, coaches, things like that. And I know that a lot of them listen to this show because they're looking for perspective, because they're looking to maybe check themselves before they wreck themselves, right?
Yeah. I use that word very often. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Dee, that's funny. All right. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, how did you discover that you were kind or that you wanted to, you know, do something that's going to transform people's lives? Were there something that you've gone through in life and said, no, I'm going to change this? As you know, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I feel like For me, I really struggled a long time, like over 20 years, trying to figure out who I was. I am a daughter of Italian immigrants. They taught me my work ethic, which is I have a phenomenal work ethic. So they taught me my work ethic, but what they didn't teach me was how to find joy in life. In the little moments, it was overall just survival mode. This is what we're going to do to make money. So I feel like I really had to learn those coping mechanisms of how to deal with the world from a different perspective and not just a survival perspective. So I think for a very long time, I really was just twisting myself, trying to figure out who I was by giving my power to other people, giving my power to society, giving my power to my bosses, my family, giving my power to everyone else, and almost saying, "You tell me who I am," rather than me saying who I am. And what I found is when you tell people, "You tell me who you are," even if you're not saying it, but with your actions, if you're saying, "You tell me who I am," what that's doing is A, it's giving away your power, but B, it's also, I mean, you're really putting your life into someone else's hands and you're putting your worth into someone else's hand. And happiness, happiness is homemade. Happiness is an inside job.
I love that. I love that. I love happiness is homemade. And our parents gave us what they could or what they knew to give. And I really believe that it is because of their lack of, if you will, that we had to find the lack within, right? We had to find the lack to fit. And I don't believe any of us would be who we are if it wasn't for those challenges and those things in our life,
Absolutely not.
even the negatives. Like I used to always look at my past so negatively because so many bad things happened to me. And then I realized that would not have made me as resilient and as strong as I am today. So I actually thank them for it,
I
now that
love
I know,
that.
right?
Yes.
Now that I know.
Now it's easy. I feel like when you're in the thick of things, it's hard when you're stressed out at work, stressed out at home. It's hard to say, wow, I, am so happy that you're stressing me out right now. And I'm so happy that I'm crying. And I'm so happy that I'm having panic attacks, and now, when you're in that good space, you can look back and you can find the gifts. So I can find the gifts in a lot of my, challenges. So being able to reflect back and saying, this really sucked going through this. And I did not do a good job going through it. But what I did was I learned how to handle situations like that to have different outcomes. And I've also learned about what I can handle as well.
I really love that, and I love the perspective, and I want everybody to listen to this because she said, instead of asking someone else who you are. And I know that I even went through this like recently, right? Because when you have coaches and stuff like that, and you're trying to navigate where am I gonna lead, lead? Because I have so many skill sets, right? So where am I gonna lead, right? And all of us do. We all have like tons of skill sets. And so, but then there's something in us that knows what we're calling, and yet we're letting someone lead that. And we're like, but I also do this like really, really well. Yeah, no, but that's not what you focus on this. And we're asking permission, D. We're asking permission from someone else to follow what is in us innately for us to do.
I mean, now say that again and like just realize the craziness of that statement. And it's true, and we all do it. We all, seek validation from others, and then we sometimes it can get confusing where am I seeking validation or am I being a people pleaser?
And to the point that now you can't sleep. You're stressed, you're going through, you're twisting and turning, and you don't know why. Your money's not coming in, you're not landing, and you're just frustrated. And honestly, that is par for the course. And I want everybody to understand that too. You're gonna go through that, and that's okay. And you're gonna F it up, and that's okay. And you're gonna like put out a program, and it sucks, and that is also okay.
I encourage you to F up, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me too.
Because I mean, that's where the gold is. That's where the learning is. 100%. You know, I'll always say, you know, when I put something together the first time, I mean, it's a 50-50 shot. It might be absolutely amazing, but it might also be like, oh, you know what? We need some work.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay. You know, I encourage people, get out there, make mistakes. You know, put yourself in uncomfortable positions and see what you're capable of.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. And you will surprise yourself. You will rise to the occasion.
Oh, you
will surprise yourself. Yeah. And a lot of the women that I work with are leaders, right? And they're trying to like build their own like coaching and consulting businesses. So I'm helping them understand that their wisdom is this amazing amount of currency. And you know, they don't realize that they think that they don't know. Oh, see, I just don't know. You actually know a lot. What you maybe don't know are systems. Maybe you don't know all that kind of stuff, but you know a lot, and you don't need a big website and all the social media following and all that kind of stuff. You need your wisdom, and you need to present it the way you've presented it for your job for the last 10, 15 years.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Like, I know that you said you work from, you had to like kind of navigate that, you know, that old programming that you had about working hard and, you know, I guess you get that job, a good job, you work until you die. Like that's the kind of stuff that I grew
essentially, you stay at the job for, you know, 30 years and, you know, and then you collect pension.
It's
and,
a good job. It's good insurance. Don't leave. Like that's, I can hear that. Yeah. So tell me how you broke out of that. What was there like a pivotal point for you? Like you were just like, I can't no more. Like what was that moment?
You know, I love that because when I look through, I feel like there's multiple moments.
Yeah.
And the reason why there's multiple moments, and you could look at patterns. So if you look at back at your life and you look at the patterns, you know, you can really see, wow, like the universe was telling me what I needed to know, and I just kept ignoring it.
Yep.
So I think for me, the self-reflection, the, you know, doing all of the work myself, you know, with coaching, with therapy, with, you know, just normal conversation. But for me, I think because I was convinced that I need to work a corporate job and I need to be a manager and then I need to be, you know, and I need to follow, you know, the succession. I was trying to fit into a box that was not made for me. So I couldn't figure out why am I unhappy? I have this great job, right? I make good money and I have a great family. I have all the things. Why am I not fulfilled? And the reason why I was not fulfilled is because didn't trust myself. Mm. I was putting what I was supposed to be and what I was supposed to do with in other people's hands. I started trusting myself, then that's kind of when the problem started happening, right? I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to go back to school. Well, I mean, if you go back to school, you know, obviously you trust yourself that you can go ahead and you can accomplish it. But then I was also working full time. Mm-hmm. So that was a problem for me. I mean, looking back now, it wasn't, but back then it was a problem for me because it's like, wow, like I'm only one person and I have to be 100% at work and I have to be 100% at school and I have to be 100% at home. That's 300%.
Right. Right.
So I think for me, through that, you know, just the decline of my mental health, because I continuously couldn't figure out why I was not happy. I'm doing what I was told to do, right? I'm going to school. I'm working hard. I'm you know, drinking enough water. I'm doing all these things that, you know, society tells me to do. Why am I still not happy? And then the pandemic happened. And when the pandemic happened, my mental health took such a nosedive because of course I had, you know, just like everyone else, you know, I had loss. You know, we lost a few very close people to us, you know, and then my father passed away as well. So like there was a lot of loss. And I think when you lose somebody, you take inventory of your life because you have visions of well, what if that was me? What if my life was to end? Am I going to regret where I am right now?
Right.
And if the answer is yes, that you're going to have regrets if you consider, if you continue on that same trajectory, that is your biggest red flag. And that's what happened with me. I was, you know, working a job again that I was in natural progression. I was supposed to be doing the job. I was good at it, but I was not fulfilled. So then when I found what did fulfill me, my mind checked out and my mind was like, nope, I don't want to be here anymore. I just want to be coaching. This is all I want to be doing.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here anymore. So, and then I started having panic attacks and I started having everything else. And for me, it was happening because I was, again, not being true to myself. Right. I wasn't being honest with myself. I wasn't being authentic. So in August of 2022, I finally had that point where I'm like, you know what? I'm not getting anywhere in this career. And it's not that there's anything wrong with the career. There's nothing wrong with the organization. It's just not for me. I need something else. So that's when I became a business owner. And, you know, and I did it with a lot of trauma, a lot of baggage, but I took it day by day and I just continued to heal every day by openly having discussions like this and mm-hmm. helping other people heal as well. And that's right. A long answer. Sorry.
No, that's a great answer because, you know, this is so relevant to what people are going through right now. I mean, like I said, I work with women, right? Women leaders that are feeling this way you're feeling, Dee. Like they are burnt out. They don't know if they want to go into the C-suite. You know what I'm saying? Like they're not feeling it right now, you know? And I think it's, you know, it's that pivotal point in your life where you go, wait, what am I doing? And you're right. Loss does bring that to you. It does. Now it could be loss of a job. It could be loss of a relative. It could be, it's just loss. Yeah. It just makes you pause. Exactly. And so what was, I mean, okay. So give us like, especially for those who are listening, give us like one thing you can remember doing that helped you kind of navigate that feeling and seeing that I do have a passion. You know what I mean? Like what was that like thing that you did that said, okay, I'm going to recognize that this is my passion. Did you have something like that?
Yeah, I would say so. I started coaching before I left my organization. Mm-hmm. So, and I was trying to do both, right? I was trying to build a coaching business and then also work full time.
Yeah. Most of us do. Yeah.
Most of us do. Exactly. Right. And I think that for me, the taking inventory and being able to, you know, when you wake up in the morning, if you're dreading going to work, mm-hmm. if you're, you know, and it doesn't even have to be about the people, if you're, you know, like a report, say you have a monthly report, if you're like, I don't want to do this monthly report, don't want to put these numbers together, I don't want to give a summary, I don't want to do any of it. Well, that is your body and your mind telling you there is a problem.
Right.
You know, you're being paid to do this. If you don't want to do it, then that's, you know, that's an issue. So I feel like for me, and I know I might be, you know, just repeating myself, but I feel like for me, it was getting to know myself and having those conversations, and coaching was the biggest shift for me because mm-hmm. A lot of people they say coaching, okay, financial coaching or, you know, job coaching and stuff like that. But for coaching for me was almost therapeutic because I was able to look at my life and my history from an emotional perspective, not from, you know, the therapy perspective, but just from more of like that intellectual perspective that, yes, this happened. Of course, I'm going to feel this way. And that's okay. So, mm-hmm. you know, bringing the humanity into it. And then from there, I just really taught myself empathy. You know, if you're having conversations in your head, you know, like, I don't want to do this. And then your follow-up responses because I'm stupid, because I'm worthless. You know, again, that is your mindset. That is your mindset telling you that you're stupid or whatever. And it's mm-hmm. telling you that based on your old belief systems mm-hmm. based on the fact that maybe, like for me, based on I was supposed to be corporate and I'm stepping out of that corporate, right? And I'm doing something else. So that puts you, you know, you're stepping out of the cycle essentially of trauma. Right.
Yeah.
So you step out and then it's like, well, now what do I do? And now it's exciting because now I could just make up what I do. Right. Mm-hmm. And I have that power. So when I started, that's why I really was an empowerment coach, because for me, I needed to be empowered. I needed to light my fire from within. Mm-hmm. And which is why my first company was named Fire Within Coaching.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I love that. And, you know, there was a couple of points in that. And I think though, you know, one of the things that I had to do as well, to add to everything you just said was mm-hmm. forgiveness, and forgiveness of myself and forgiveness of others. And you have to remember, guys, listen, people are out here trying to work too, and they're not always going to get it right. And so you have to forgive yourself if you messed up, mm-hmm. you messed up. Forgive yourself. Like, forgive yourself if you wasted a lot of money on some coaches and they didn't work out for you the way you thought. Do not blame them. Do not. Forgive yourself as well and forgive them. And also look at the reality of things. Like, I've had people that I've had to say, I'm sorry, this is not going to work, because as much as you pour in, sometimes they don't execute. And then they think it's not you. But I'm like, yeah, but you didn't do A, B, C, D. I mean, like, you know, so I want you guys to forgive yourselves if you didn't put the full effort in, if you paid for something mm-hmm. and it didn't work out, if you have a bad habit and pattern and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, just freaking forgive yourself, because that's going to be huge to open up your vision to see differently than where you are right now. Right.
Yeah. Well, yes. And I would add, just like, show yourself empathy as well. Like, forgive yourself, show yourself empathy. But that doesn't mean, so a lot of people, when they hear forgiveness, that means, okay, I have to forgive, you know, the action. I have to, you know, forgive the person. And it's not necessarily like that. It could be something as simple of, you know, this person hurt me. And of course I'm upset that this person hurt me, and, you know, and our relationship may never be the same,
right. Absolutely.
But I'm going to look inside and I'm going to take inventory of how I acted and how I contributed. Right. So that's that mutual accountability. And then once you have, yes, you know, I contributed to this, I can see it. A, you know, that gives you empathy for the other person. And B, it's saying, you know, it's being human, and it's saying, it's okay that I made that mistake, because again, mistakes, that's where growth lies.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, putting yourself in those uncomfortable situations.
Right.
So I would think that forgiveness, you're absolutely right. Forgiveness is so vital, but again, it doesn't mean that you're forgiving the, you know, the heinous act or whatever it is, depending on what it is. You're not forgiving the act. You're just forgiving yourself for what you contributed to make that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And the empathy part is a big part. I teach a lot on empathy. I think empathy is huge. And so also empathy for the people that you're reaching or trying to reach, whether you're a leader leading a big team, or you're a coach, or you're shifting, or you're CEO, whatever it is, have empathy for the person that you're serving. You know, think about the person that you're serving and have empathy for them. You were there once, maybe not exactly, but you were there once. And so have empathy for that situation, have empathy for that person, have empathy for what they're going through right now. They may just be going through it. Okay. A lot of people are right now. So have empathy for that. So tell me now, because I know that when we started to introduce you, you also are in Ignite Purpose, right? So tell me a little bit about that and what that's about.
Sure. So before I do that, I just want to follow up on your last comment. So empathy is a superpower that people don't always know how to tap into.
Agreed.
So with empathy, if you think about leadership, you cannot be an effective leader and to your full potential without empathy.
That's absolutely true.
And I can segue that into Ignite Purpose. I joined Ignite Purpose. So I've been working with them in an unofficial capacity really since the beginning of the year. And I've been working with the Christina Foxwell. So she is the global CEO. And okay. There was just so much synergy between my belief system and her belief system.
That's awesome.
So when I said earlier that I'm brave, that I'm a learner, that I'm kind, that I'm accountable, that, you know, I value human connections, that is all stuff that is written into our mission. And because that's what we preach to others. We help others see the goodness, the excellence, and the beauty in each other. And we really operate on a hive mentality. So when we're working with leaders, we, you know, it's an inside job. So you have to start with yourself. You cannot fix an organization from the middle. You can't fix it from the bottom. You have to fix it at top with the executives and the leaders. And you have to do that deep, you know, reflection of, you know, because really you have to do the deep reflection of, you know, who am I? What is my organization? What does my organization stand for? Right. And what effect do I want on my employees?
So
because
good.
How you lead your people is going to affect their performance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if you want high performance and you want harmony, okay, then you have to do that look inside.
So good.
Now, if you want high performing and you don't want harmony and you want toxicity, then sure, continue on your path. One story that I use a lot when I'm talking about the work we do is it's about super chickens. Have you ever heard about super chickens?
No, go for it. I want to hear it.
So a biologist, William Muir, so he had over 6 generations, he decided that he was going to breed, chickens. Yeah. So tell me, how do we know if a chicken's high performing?
By how many chicks they have?
How many eggs? Yeah.
Yeah.
So if a chicken produces a lot of eggs, they're considered high performing. So what he did is after the 6 generations of breeding them, he took all the high performing chickens and he put them in the coop. So the thought process was, wow, I have all these high performers and I'm going to put them in the same coop.
That don't even sound like the right thing to do.
I'm going to have so many eggs, right? It's a plethora of eggs. Do you think that's what happened?
Heck no. You can't. That's that many chiefs. Are you kidding?
Yes. So what ended up happening is there's only 3 remaining chickens and they, because everyone, all the other chickens pecked each other to death.
Yeah.
Because they were in constant, you know, constant competition to be the, you know, the strongest and everything else. Yeah. And those chickens, not only was there only 3 left, so there wasn't a lot of egg productivity, but also the chickens, they weren't plump or juicy or anything like that. They were stressed, right? So in the other coop where the ones that weren't the high performers, so they weren't moved, they were low performers, mid performers, high performers, just a mixed bag. How do you think that they turned out?
I would have thought that they would do better. They would do better. They wouldn't be that enormous amount of stress and competition.
No,
am I wrong?
They happy, plump chickens.
Oh, there is. Right? That's what I thought.
Happy and plump because everybody has their role.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody has their contribution.
Yeah.
So now let's take that and bring that over to the organization. When we take our top performers and we put them against each other and we really cater to those top performers, then what happens is we create super chickens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when we create super chickens, our organization is not healthy. And when we have a hive mentality, when we say everyone has their purpose, there is a large, there's a large vision that we have, and everybody knows how they're contributing to that vision.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Because everybody knows how they're continued or how they're doing that, you know, they are taking pride and ownership in their work. They want to work hard because they recognize that they matter.
Right. And that really makes so much sense, right? Because I know about organizations that do that kind of say, well, you know, this department did that, so what are you guys going to do and stuff? And they think that's a way to for a healthy competition, and it's not. Instead, it causes such a division in vision, right? Yep. Because now the it goes out from, you know, us having what you call the hive mentality to the me mentality. So instead of us, all of us like really getting this done and working together for the goal, now we're like seeing who can beat each other first to get there. And it's pointless, because while they're trying to run for that, using the chicken analogy, all the other chickens are left in the back and you two are just fighting in the front. It's just so chaotic.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it doesn't really, it doesn't even work in today's field anyway. If you think about it, people are just quitting. You're going to piss them off, they're out. Yeah. It's not like what it used to be. People used to stick with you 30 years in stress, you know, completely never seeing their families, like all that kind of stuff. Like that was really toxic, and it was a thing, and that's the way we lived, and that's how we were raised anyway, right?
Generational trauma. Yeah. That's what that is. Generational trauma.
Yeah, exactly. And we just keep carrying it on and on. But it's not that way anymore. Like this new generation ain't having that. They're just not having that, you know? No. And they are all looking to see what your culture is, what your mission statement is, what your vision is, because otherwise they're out. They don't even want to be a part of it. It's really interesting. I mean, they're taking it, they're using it in a whole different angle. And I think we need to step up.
Yes. That's what we need to do. 100%. And I'm glad you think so, because that's what we help organizations do.
Right. I was going to ask you, how do you help the organization?
Yeah, we help organizations. We work one-on-one with the leaders. We do complete, you know, cultural assessments.
I love that.
We help with recruiting. We'll help you do a cultural overhaul. We can help streamline your HR services. We can help with people processes. Wow. There's so much that we can help with. But then we have that foundation of that mutual accountability, that kindness, and that hive culture of, you know, what's good for me is good for the collective.
Exactly.
So I'm going to help other people do what they need to do to fulfill their job, because what's good for them is good for me.
Yeah, I really do love that. And I think, you know, because this podcast is listened to by a lot of thought leaders and CEOs and things like that, I think this is the right audience to speak to. Yeah. And I also want to throw in, you know, for those of you who are listening, who are running teams or are in leadership or all of that, or even having your own business and you're starting to develop a team, you really need to listen up, because it's one of the things that I've always kind of been annoyed about is how many organizations do not invest in this kind of thing. Like it irritates me, you know, like you guys have like all, look, we give back to, you know, this cause, and we give back to that cause, give into your cause, into your people. Like, I'm always like, this is one of the things I fight with all the time with a lot of leaders. Cause I'm like, well, where's your budget for having somebody like Ignite Purpose, let's say, come in and train your leadership? Because what happens, and it's a big flaw, guys. So those of you who are listening, don't get pissed off at me. Go ahead and email me if you want to. But all I'm saying is you guys, what we do a lot, and this is a natural thing, is we think that people naturally evolve into that next level, and they don't. So what happens is somebody's been with you for 10 years and you're saying, you know, they would be a wonderful director because they've been a wonderful salesperson. And that is not the case. Right. So we end up throwing these people into these leadership roles that do not know how to lead. It is not their fault. No. You need to be pouring into them. Right. And so if you have employees that are disgruntled and angry and like pissed off because they have to work with this person, you need to look at you first and say, what am I not doing to serve my leader to become the best leader they can be? I'm just saying, I'm just dropping a mic here. I'm just saying.
I know. I love that so much, because that's one thing, especially in healthcare, that's a big thing, is you have, you know, for example, a nurse, you have a nurse that's phenomenal at being a nurse, right? Yeah. That's what they trained for. You know, they have great bedside manner. They're, you know, friendly to be around, you know, all around great. So let's promote them into a management position. Well, being a manager is completely different than being a nurse, because manager, you're managing people, you're managing the schedule, you're managing, totally different. So you're taking someone who is really good in one thing and saying, well, here, do another thing, rather than saying, hey, you're really good with this. Let's give you some leadership training and let's elevate you to the next level of your career, rather than just saying, here you go. Like, may the odds ever be in your favor. Because that's
how it is.
Look at it from a mental health perspective. You are creating so much trauma for that person.
Because
if you think that that person is not waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning saying, oh my God, I have to do this. They are because you're not giving them the tools that they need. It's really important. You know, it's great that we want to do things, but if we do not have the necessary support, then you're just wasting your money.
And the thing is that it's going to cost you less, guys. For those of you who are listening, it's cost you less. How much money do we spend on turnaround? It is crazy. And, you know, I help leaderships in hospitality because I was director of hospitality and culinary. I'm a chef by trade and I went up in the career, but I've always been a leader and a manager and all of that. And so I know that it was super stressful to manage all of that. But I ended up doing my own personal development, my own teaching, my own, you know, career, my own college, all of that, because I had the passion to learn, but not everybody has the passion or the money to learn it. So invest. I promise you it's going to be less money than having that really great person that could have really done something well for you walk out the door because they can't, because of the mental health. Right. Yep. See, this was such a freaking awesome conversation. I hope everybody's listening. Hello. Hope y'all listening out there. Anyway, Dee, before I let you go though, honestly, because this is like, I believe the cream of the crop audience for you, I'd like you to tell them how they can reach you and talk to you, because you guys do a lot.
We do.
For these organizations. I mean, that's really cool. So I would love you to just give them how they can reach you, talk to you, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So the easiest way to reach me, I would say, would be to send me a message on LinkedIn or Alignable. So LinkedIn and Alignable are the two formats that I'm on, or platforms that I'm on now. And then also, of course, email me at d@ignitepurpose.co. And I will say that if any of your audience, if they reach out to me and they say that they heard in our conversation, I will throw in a free assessment debrief. So we do a lot with PQ. I'm not sure if you're familiar. It's positive intelligence. We do a lot with our self-sabotaging mindsets, which is a lot of times a barrier. If you've ever heard
that course, it was amazing.
Amazing. So if you ever heard the, maybe if you get out of your own way. So I help people essentially get out of their own way, and I give them the free assessment from Positive Intelligence. Awesome. And then I'll also give them a debrief, which it's just a coaching debrief where I walk you through your results, and then I give you tips on how you can change them.
That's fantastic. Dee, you are amazing. Thank you so much for the flexibility and the knowledge and dropping wisdom and just, having people understand that there's help out there for them, that they are definitely not alone in this journey of building something great, and that they should honestly rethink the way they're thinking. Like, we are no longer pre-pandemic years. Things have changed, guys. And I know a lot of you know it and feel it with all the silent walking out that people are doing, the silent quitting, as they're putting it now, right? And I think that that says something. And what it's saying is that maybe you should change or strategize just a bit differently on how you are showing up and how you want your people to show up. I'm telling you, I cannot say it enough. The more that you pour into people, people will pour back into you. So 100%. Just go ahead and pour. Dee, thank you so much for being on Straight Talk, No Sugar. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad. It. So glad. Guys, I told you that she was an amazing human. I told you. So now that you have heard her, you know her, you see what she's bringing to the table, which is absolutely phenomenal. Make sure that you get onto her LinkedIn or Alignable, or, you know, email her and all of that. I will have all of her information linked below so that you guys don't waste another moment. Hello. Hello. Okay. Just making sure you're listening, because it's time for you guys to get it going, because I really believe in leadership. So I believe in leaders, and I believe that they have the right heart. They really want to do it. They just need the tools. Give them the freaking tools. All right, guys, this is Nina Perez. This is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I love you so much. Until next time.